my brother.
How you doing, Sean? Good seeing you,
man.
So good to see you.
Nice to see you.
How you been?
I'm good. How you been?
I'm doing great. I'm looking good.
Good. You're looking fit.
Yeah. Come on in. First of all, I want to thank you for stopping by while you're in town. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for anybody to actually have a one-on-one conversation with you about the principles. When I met you at the Forbes 100 Greatest Business Minds, which I was, you know, just so honored to be there. And I'm thankful that my last name ends in a C and yours ends in a D, because that's how we met. We were right. I was in front of you for when we were going to go take the big picture. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions straight from the things I highlighted in the book. First thing was, so what's your definition of radically open-minded?
Is to simultaneously have an opinion, like, let me give you this, that you think it should go this way.
Yes.
And then you say to yourself, how do I know I'm right? Maybe that's wrong. Is that as good as I can be? And then the capacity to hear and then challenge. So somebody comes up to you with an idea and says, okay, let's do this. What do you think about that? To harvest the best around you, but sorting it with your own mind. So I say to be open-minded and assertive at the same time. Don't give up your assertiveness, but to be curious, like, am I harvesting the best? Because the biggest thing that most people have, their problem, is they get so opinionated that they can't take in. And the worst problem is the worst tragedy of mankind, almost any individual, is that they're attached to opinions that are wrong, and they don't want to have them stress tested. So when you're radically open-minded, you can say, hey, man, I really think it should go this way. And then at the same time say to the smartest people that you know, kick the shit out of it and try to say, okay, now let's see how the stress tests so that I can then go to the best, or how do I harvest? This is going to be very important for you to get your leverage, okay? Because you want to go to this new high level, right? And you want to do a lot of things. And in order to do the lot of things, you're going to have to get the most leverage of other people. But you also want it to be great, just like you want it to be, because you've got a unique ability with your taste and everything to be able to make those choices, so you know what's great and what's not great. So in order to go from that, you have to pick the people who can do that, who can deliver you what you could do, to find people who are as good or better than you, and then to get that leverage. The key is to try to find out what you're not good at. Okay, write those things down that you're not good at. And then you get the people who are good at those things. And then you get the great leverage, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, think, what are you not good at? And get that great leverage, and then get the simpatico even on the things you're good at.
That's great. And as I'm building up my leverage and I'm, you know, building my team, what advice would you give me on how to find the best in class?
The first thing you need to do for each job is to have a spec sheets, you know, the specifications for that job. Think about what are the most essential elements for each job, because each job requires a different kind of talent.
Okay, now just to interrupt you right there real quick. Is we live in a time where people know how to give really good interviews. So as I've been building, I've been fooled a couple of times. I've written out a very detailed spec sheet. They may say they understand it, but then when and they have given me the appearance that they understand the job and they do a stellar interview. But then, you know, when we're 3 months into the trenches.
Yeah, I don't think, here's the deal. What you do is you use the personality profile testing, background checks, and the resume. And I do a thing which you call a reverse 360. So to find out not just their resumes, but to find out everybody who knew them in the past, and then you go and do the checking. So you have to start with a spec sheet, meaning not just the skills. There are three things that everybody brings you. Skills is what almost everybody hires for, and it's the least important of the three things. The most important things are values, abilities, and skills. So first, what are their values? Because if you're not values aligned, you're going to have a problem. Like, how are you going to be with each other? The second thing is then abilities. Like some people like you, a very creative thinker. Somebody may be very reliable. They're not creative. But each person has a natural ability and abilities that they've gone to develop. Those are the things that make you excel or worse, bad at things. And then you have skills. And skills is like, you can play the piano or you can sing or you can do that. So that's learned. But if you start to look at, okay, what are the person's values? Where's that coming from? Well, we're going to have simpatico. Because at that deep level, you have to have that simpatico. You're on a mission together. It's not just a job, yes. Right? And then their abilities. So you got to get the spec sheet right. Once you know the language and you've got it down, then they come and they meet you, and then you do those kind of right tests, and then view when you're starting with them that the tests don't end, okay? Because you're testing them every single day, and it's how you do that, and even being able to rely on others to even make those selections for you, sometimes because I've done this a lot. I will look at those particular results and I can say, okay, that's that type of person. And is that type of person a good click with the job?
I feel like I need a hard reset. I feel like I've been this computer that's been going and going and going and going and going nonstop. I know you split things up into personal and business principles, but for somebody that's coming from a history of success, what advice would you give for that? For me, on knowing how it starts to chip away at your confidence a little bit, and how, you know, what steps did you take to reset and get up out of that and get to a point where you started to flourish in life and became like the greatest that you can be?
It just like, you know, pain plus reflection equals progress. You had the crash. You have the experience. That's part of the self-discovery. Like, what do you want right now?
Yes.
You're at a juncture. What really matters to you?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Because you're talking about excellence.
Yes.
Okay? You're talking about keeping the bar high.
Yes.
So, let's talk about how you keep the bar high with that determination and then simultaneously deal with people who may not have that bar high, because that's what I'm hearing you.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's that deal. Okay. So now I want to go and understand and explore that. Okay. How you keep the bar high and then also get with them. Okay. Because you got to sort them. Some people don't want to jump as high. Some people don't want to. But I want to know how you're doing.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
How are you doing on that?
Man, I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I had to step away from the game because it got to a point where I didn't feel like I was playing with players of my caliber. And I felt like I was investing so much time in the now and in the art piece of it, that, you know, when it came time, you know, for my investment in my future as far as is my business team and the team of executives around me, you know, it kind of got away from me. I got to a point where I was having so much success in so many different areas, and so I wasn't paying attention to making sure that I was still nurturing the team. And then when I had to come back off a tour and I had to get back into business mode, you know, I realized that, you know, I had outgrew my team. It wasn't like they were bad. It's just that they weren't at the level of excellence that I was at. That level of excellence is very, very high for me.
What's interesting to me is I've seen this happen over and over again with all different people, and we've had conversations with people who run great sports teams, people who run great teams in any way, and have that element of excellence and how to do that. So absolutely, you're not going to compromise the excellence. You shouldn't. And,
yes.
And so on. At the same time, how do you get the path? Just find somebody who's really great at delivering that and make them a good partner. So whether it's Tarek or somebody there who says, I'm making it my job to deliver those types of people to you.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Because you're not going to do this yourself all, yes. And you may not even be the best person to know how to do it because you've got to get organized in the tests and you got to administer and whatever it is.
Yes. I think that's what I'm trying to confess. Is that that's something I'm not good at. I don't think that I'm good at that. I think there's somebody better.
But you're
going
to get liberated once you get it, mm-hmm. and once you're doing it, it is a kick because like you say, you're hitting, you're stretching up to that level, and then if you don't have great talent around you, first of all, it's not a kick, it's a pain, it's miserable because then you're just slogging along.
And what's a kick?
The okay. kick, the fun.
Oh, the fun, okay. All right.
The fun.
The joy. Yeah.
Okay. It is a blast to be around great people.
Yes.
And it is a downer to have people who can't
That's
what I'm saying, too. Yeah. Okay. So I'm saying it's a kick. Like, whether if somebody's playing, my dad was a jazz musician, so I think of jazz, And I think, like, wow, great jazz musicians. I listen to great jazz. Ooh. And I listen to that and I say, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Or a great basketball team or any other group of people to play that basketball. You use that as an example. To play that around is a kick. Okay. And it drags you down if you can't do that. But in order to do that well, whatever you want in your life, you have to ask who is going to be capable of giving it to me. So it's an assignment to somebody who is going to be talented and knows how to produce and deliver talent. Like if you're running a team, doesn't mean you're going to run around and do all that talent finding and talent sorting or whatever.
So
you're going to be
recruiter.
The captain of the team. Mm-hmm. And then somebody out there is going to say, I know how to scout. Mm. I know how to test. I know how to do it. You tell me who's playing good basketball with you. Let me put this one on the court. How do you find him? Okay, no, you don't like that. Let me recalibrate because it's my mission. The guy next to you who's your talent guy, it's my mission to deliver those stars. Once you start to realize that you don't have to do everything yourself, okay, whatever impediments you have, you can get the best talent in the world to do that with you, and it doesn't take any real time. It doesn't cost you hardly anything relative to the cost of wasting your time trying to not get those right people on there. And then you go and you refine the process. But don't let yourself be the guy who's now going to undertake this mission and undertake that mission and undertake that mission. Okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You got your talent scout,
your
play. Okay.
That right there, that's the definition of a mentor-mentee relationship that connected with me. I have my marching orders. I know what to do with that. Yeah, thank you for that.
And then we're gonna look.
Yeah, we're gonna
okay.
Look.
How you doing it?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying success is a 5-step process. First, you have to know what you're going after, your goals. Then you encounter your problems. Number two, you encounter your problems on the way to your goals. Then you have to diagnose those problems and get at the root causes of those problems. And that might be a weakness that you have or a weakness that somebody has, but you better get at the root cause. And then once you got the root cause, then you can design something. You write down on your to-do list, I got to do this thing. That's number four, design. And then number five, you got to do it.
Yes, sir.
You just can't say, okay, now I'm going to do that thing and not push through to results. And if you could do that over and over, that's the formula for success. You only have to do those five things, you got the formula for success. But not everybody's good at all of those steps. So it's okay. You don't have to be good at everything. You just have to find the right people who are good when you're not good, and then you go through that.
Last thing that I wanted to ask you is who are some of the leaders that you look up to and why?
One guy comes to mind is Muhammad Yunus. Muhammad Yunus is the man who invented microfinance and is changing. Jeff Canada, Harlem Children's Home.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a shaper.
Yes,
okay?
He definitely is.
He's a shaper, and he can make it.
And a disruptor.
And a smart, good man.
Yes, yes.
So Jeff Canada is one of those. And let me say something else also. We're at a time where is it great to be successful? Is it great to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
Is it great to be a billionaire?
Yeah.
Okay? We want to convey those things to people. You can have character at any level of operating. So the people that I admire the most are these people who, you know, they have the great character and they're giving to other people. Those are the people. But there, so a lot of names come to mind when you're asking
That's
me
good.
That question,
That's
you know?
Good. That's good. And so here's the book, Principles. For everyone that hasn't read the book yet, you explain why you wrote the book. And I think the why is important, you know, for people to know that haven't read it. So can you explain to me one more time why you wrote this book and why it's so important to your legacy?
I think there are three phases in one's life. The first phase is you're dependent on others in your learning. And you graduate. Then you go in the second phase of your life. And increasingly, people are dependent on you and you're working and you're trying to be successful. I'm in transition from the end of that phase to the next phase in my life. And the most important thing for me is to help other people be successful. I learned along the way certain things that helped me be successful. So whatever success I've had has not been because of me. It's because of principles that I learn along the way. But, you know, you have the collection kind of late in life and you want to pass. So I wanted to pass those along to be able to, you know, I'm at the stage of my life.
Yeah.
I'm 70 years old.
Yeah.
I want to pass along what's been good for me. So that's what I want to do. And then when I do that, I can have peace. So when I look at it and I know like it reverberates. Not only am I helping you because it's such an important thing to be not only helping you, but to help the others that you're trying to help, it reverberates and I feel good. Like I will have done what I did.
You should
feel
good.
And then I'll have peace.
Yes.
Okay. That's peace. And then I could savor life.
Yeah.
And I play around with my grandkids and I do all the things that I'm still excited about. So that's why.
And that's the most important part out of all of this is to get to that peace.
Ah.
I don't want to make the most money. I want to be known for giving the most money away.
There's
this man called Mansa Musa.
Uh-huh.
It's a part of our history. He was an African king, the richest man in the world. And the changes that he made, the way he would go into the communities and in Africa and I'm talking about like the way he would just help the underserved and underprivileged. He's a big hero of mine. I'm going to send you some information on Mansa Musa.
Role models are good, and I'm very interested. But it becomes the natural arc. It's instinctual that what happens is, like, look, you didn't have anything. I didn't have anything. And then you go the arc, and you acquire stuff. And then, okay. And then also, people go through, is it status? Is it proven things and all of that? And you get past all that. Whatever it is it the craft and all of that? And then you feel secure. And it doesn't take much past a certain point to have more than you feel secure. And then you start to feel empathy. You start to relate. You start to see injustices. You start to see these other things happen. And you can do that. And it starts to bring joy. And then you're going to be going, you're going to be passing those things. And what can you pass? And so it becomes, the joys change from going to nothing to making a lot and realizing What's it going to get you more, really? And the irony of it is I never really worked for money. That was the irony?
That's so crazy. I've never worked for money neither.
The funny thing is, for me, maybe it's been the same for you, I ended up playing a game that I liked and got good at, and then they gave me money. If you're good at the game, they give you money.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what it is.
I think that's a very, very important part of people that are successful. People don't realize that most people that are successful and, you know, earn a lot of money, they're really just doing their jobs extremely, extremely well. And that is a benefit of it.
It just
comes. And then it becomes something that you can use to help other people. Because there's but so much stuff you could buy, you know. And then it becomes, you know, it becomes what, you know, it should be used for us to help each other and to make positive changes in the world.
So when I look at that and I say, okay, now I'm at let's say you get the money and whatever comes in and you can get this thing or you can get a kid through high school and into a job like your school.
Yes.
And then, you know, what makes you feel better? Yes. Okay. You have to do with what makes you feel better. For me, like, and I relate because you relate. Because you went through it.
Yes.
And so it's natural.
Yes.
It's natural. So that life arc, sometimes we lose sight of that.
Yes.
Because people are thinking that the person who's made a lot of money is trying to make a lot of money or exploiting people or something, rather than they're just producing things that people like and the people then are paying for the things that they like. So that's a good symbiotic relationship. Then you take the money and you do good things with it. That's a good deal.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I want to thank you for this book right here, as an entrepreneur. And I will say to all entrepreneurs out there that this is required reading. And, you know, also thank you for just, you know, all the books that you've given me to give away to, you know, people in the community that may not be able to afford it.
I'll keep giving them.
And it's such a blessing. So I want everybody to know how pure this relationship is. And, you know, this is the only ulterior motive that we have is to empower people through the information of your journey and all the things that you've learned, which we all have to go through as being successful entrepreneurs. So it's official right now. Principles is required reading. If you are becoming an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. It doesn't matter if you're 8 to 80, you know, it doesn't matter. You could always, it's never too late to start. But, you know, this is a book that will take some years off of your life, I feel, as an entrepreneur. And, you know, it's been something that has come to me as a blessing. Because, you know, when I read it the first time, I was at a certain point in my life. But then at this point where now I'm at my second mountain and I'm at the point where I want to be the best I can be and understand the process, this right here has given me the roadmap. So I want to just thank you for that.
Let me tell you, I'm a great admirer of yours, man.
Thank you.
Because you got what it takes.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank you.
I'm not admiring for you for your success.
Yeah.
I'm admiring you for the type of person you are. And so for me, the ability to pass along things that are helpful and know that you're also going to pass along the things that are helpful to you.
Yeah.
It's joy. Thank you for the joy.
And I cannot let you leave without giving me an autographed copy.
Okay.
Of the book.
Another one. Okay.
We good? Can we get a round of applause for Ray Dalio?
And you.